I built something, I built an integration, I list it on the marketplace, and now I'm going to cross my arms and wait for the cash register to ring.
Doesn't work like that.
I have never seen it work like that.
Hello, partners, and welcome back to Good Morning Ecosystem. I'm Brian Garvey, SVP of HubSpot Solutions Partner and Provider Ecosystem.
And I'm Karen Ng, SVP of HubSpot's Product and Partnerships. When I think of amazing ecosystem leaders who have been through the transformation, whether it was zero to ones to very mature products, who has been a board advisor for HubSpot, and who's also been a mentor to me when I started here, I think of Avanish Sahai. Avanish, it's great to have you here today.
So great to be here. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Brian. Great to see you both again. And just delighted that you folks are doing this. I think there's such a need for it, and I was thrilled to be one of your first guests.
We're thrilled. In terms of your background, I just have to share with the audience, you have had just such an incredible background in ecosystems. You've held leadership positions at both early stage and established companies, including Oracle and Salesforce and ServiceNow and Google Cloud. At Google Cloud, you led go-to-market programs and had global oversight over the ISV partner recruitment and engagement. At ServiceNow, you created the tech partner team. At Salesforce, the AppExchange business. And at McKinsey, if I'm not mistaken, you were a founding co-leader of the global software and services practices. Not to mention, you were a board member at HubSpot. So a lot of experience with ecosystems and just an incredibly impressive track record. We mentioned Oracle. You are an Oracle in this space. And so I know Karen and I were chatting. We're all eager to hear what's exciting you right now.
First of all, thanks for that recap. One, it makes me feel super old. Two, it also means I can't hold a job. But most importantly, I think all those roles, they were fun, but they were mostly important because the teams that we were able to build, you know, did some amazing work, right? And the work of partners, right? It's always about aligning all these different functions. And that's frankly the part that gets me excited, is you got to have product, just like you guys are here, right? You got a product, you got to have sales, you got to have marketing. And then, of course, you have the product or the partnership team itself. So to me, that is one of the big exciting things about what's starting to happen, right? And historically, look, partnerships, broadly speaking, alliances have been around for a long time. And more often than not, there were silos. Mm-hmm. You added some people, you added some, you know, some headcount. But it was not what I think is now becoming much more exciting. And even it's in the title of your podcast, it's really about creating an ecosystem. It's about thinking holistically about the different kinds of relationships, different kinds of partnerships. And at the end, at the end of the day, it's about presenting the most important participant in all this, the customer, with real solutions.
I love that. Yeah.
So that to me is what broadly is very exciting. I think it's different. And I do say, when we can talk more about that, I think it's different than what it's been in the past. I think the talent that's coming into these kind of roles is much more business savvy, is much more metrics driven and outcomes driven. And that is making a difference. So to me, that's what gets me excited.
Do you think it's making a difference because it's speaking the same language as like another discipline, or what is it about the metrics driven?
Three things. I think so. One, it is aligning. It's better alignment. It's not a function that's happening in a silo or in isolation. So that's number one. Two, I think this is a better education about why does a partner ecosystem matter? Why do customers need it? So that common language has evolved. And if you ask, you know, a CRO maybe 10, 15 years ago, about influence revenue, source revenue, all these terms that we coined in our kind of in our echo chamber, their eyes would glaze over and they'd say, ugh, whatever, right? That's come a long way, right? So that, I think, is number two. And number three, again, I think there's a broad realization that this is strategic. So whether it's at the board level, whether it's at the C-suite, finding ways to grow in a non-linear fashion, which is usually what partner ecosystems allow you to do, grow and obviously retain customers both. That kind of mindset, I think, is different.
Avanish, I'm curious, you mentioned that it's different now, that we're moving from silos to ecosystems and just sort of a recognition of the importance. Can you share a little bit more about why now? Like, what has happened that has caused everyone to sort of realize the importance of ecosystems?
I think there's a few different things that are going on. So first, I think the prevalence of technology in no longer just as an IT function or as a back office function. Those of us who've lived it, we kind of see it every day. But if you put yourself in the shoes of a customer, technology is affecting every part of their business, whether it's the customer-facing piece where HubSpot plays a key role, whether it's the back office, whether it's the employee engagement, et cetera. So the central role of technology broadly in terms of improving experiences, in terms of improving productivity, et cetera, I think that's obviously changed a lot over the last 20, 30 years. Then you add to that, I think this, again, this notion that customers are looking to solve a problem. And it's rare, let's be fair about it, it's rare that a single technology or a single product, a point solution, can completely solve a customer's problem. And therefore, they need, and they need to really think about this more holistically, right? They need... Yeah. Services partners, right? They need technology partners. They may have a different buying model that they need. They may want to engage with a reseller. All those pieces have to come together to deliver that solution. So I think that's the big imperative of what's changed. And again, you can look at it at different sizes of companies. You can look at different industries, different geographies. The role that tech is playing is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, you mentioned it's this way to grow in a non-linear fashion, and that, you know, within this ecosystem, which one do you push on first? You've worked on so many different types of platforms. Like, how do you decide in which one of those, like, which kind of those partnerships do you push on?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most frequent challenges or questions that comes up, right, as you think about where to start. And one approach is, hey, you peanut butter it and you sprinkle a little bit of focus everywhere, which means exactly no focus on anything. I think the key question to ask there is, what's the first and most critical problem you're trying to solve for? Right. In some cases, it could be, look, we've grown, our product is maybe more complex, and therefore we need a different class of partners to help us with delivery, as an example. Right. So, we as an organization, whoever we may be, don't feel like we should be delivering all the professional services and other aspects of delivery. And we want to, you know, bring that expertise and have third parties who can both engage with the customer, deliver it perhaps with a different economic model than we have as a software company, as a platform, and then engage and retain that relationship. So sometimes it's a services partner. Other times it's a more arm's length relationship, right? Which is, like I said earlier, some customers really want to buy it through a channel partner. Yeah, they've got economic reasons, so they need the reseller channel. If you're serving a particular segment, you're serving a particular geography, or maybe a government sector, you kind of have to engage with them, right? The U.S. government requires you to go through a kind of a contract vehicle or a channel partner. So you've never done that before, and you're all of a sudden you're facing that as one of your big targets. Guess what? Now you got to figure that out. And the other times hey, what we do solves a problem, but we can solve a more significant problem with a more complex workflow with a tech or integration partnership. That's yet another. So I think it really varies by maturity of the company, maturity of the offering, And candidly, I think more often than not, it's the customers.
Yeah,
who what do drive they want to do? Where to start.
Yeah. How do you think about distribution as a challenge? And then what maps to those kind of partnerships?
Yeah, so again, distribution can come in many different forms, right? So there could be a more of an arm's length relationship. But the reality of it is, let's be very candid. In the world of cloud and SaaS that we're living in, you can't really be completely independent. It just ain't happening, right? There is this kind of symbiotic relationship that you have to have. There's never an arm's length distribution like it used to be, you know, in the on-premise world, right? Which was, you know, I'm old enough to remember when we used to ship tapes or CDs or even DVDs with code on them. We don't do that anymore, right? That was real physical distribution. And, you know, there was a whole bunch of different models that came out of that. So now I think is, again, thinking through what are we trying to solve for? But what, you know, how are different customers or customer segments buying? And, you know, is a distributor who've been around for a long time. I think many of them are kind of rethinking, reinventing their business models. Historically, most of them did, frankly, they sold boxes and hardware and added some services around that. Now, again, the world is changing and they may have opportunities to kind of become aggregators of different SaaS-based or cloud-based solutions and bring those to market too. But I think the jury is still somewhat out on that one and what role or roles will they actually play.
Makes a lot of sense. One of the things I love about what you shared was just how prominent the customer is in the importance of partners, and that the evolution of partner programs and ecosystems really does work from the customer back. And it provides kind of a scalable, extensible mechanism to help customers grow better. As we do that, as HubSpot and other platforms lean into ecosystems, and there are potentially multiple partners working with a customer, how do you avoid sort of the complexity that can arise from having multiple partners involved in a single customer? Or
yeah, I mean, that is, I think, probably one of the areas that I wish there was a magic wand. There isn't. It's complex. As kind of the orchestrator of that ecosystem, whoever is at the center of that that pie kind of really has to play that role, right? Of both being the orchestrator and kind of figuring out what is the right configuration to engage with a particular customer or a particular industry, but frankly, also establish some of the rules of engagement, right? Mm-hmm. And what are some of those constraints? What are some, you know, systems they may need to put in place, such as deal registration and so on? So that, again, from the customer's perspective, what you don't want is this morass of all these different people showing up and everybody trying to get their piece, right? That's not helping them solve their problem, back to that point. Mm. So I think orchestrating that and saying, look, this is what a complete solution offering looks like for your environment, your industry. Yes, there may be one or two or three options, but here's how we're being a little bit more prescriptive. Frankly, a bit of curation sometimes is necessary as well. Doesn't necessarily mean picking winners, but it means understanding the customer's business and saying, here's what we think is required to build a kind of a more complete solution, both product and services and so on.
Right.
But it's a perennial issue. Sorry, Karen. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I love it's back to the customer. It's what the customer needs. You know, they might be more of a technical set of customer or have different, you know, mechanics. We work so many different customers in different industries and they just have different needs. So
Exactly. Yeah, we can, again, this is, I think, core to the HubSpot story. It's core to the places I've worked at before. You can never go wrong by starting with the customer.
What were the unique challenges that you saw at ServiceNow versus like potentially even an AppExchange when it started? But what shows up?
Look, there's a lot of different things you have to reconcile, right? So again, part of the fun of something like this is it can be very strategic, but it also creates with that an element of, as you kind of move more into that strategy phase. What's the build versus buy versus partner strategy for an organization? And often one of the things that's important to establish is, hey, here's our roadmap. Here's as we, as the platform provider or the kind of ecosystem orchestrator, here's our roadmap. Here are the things that we know we're going to do. Here's things we may do. Here's things we're keeping our options open.
Yeah.
Right. And understanding that a partner may run afoul of that or may kind of, you know, see that as a potential threat in the near term or in the future, or sometimes could also see as an opportunity to be part of an M&A. Right. So how do you kind of get that fact base, if you would, on the table? And frankly, sometimes one of the challenges, Karen, is not all organizations have that fully documented, number one.
Yeah.
And even if they do, are they willing to share it, even in a maybe synthesized, condensed, somewhat redacted fashion with people outside the organization? Right. So that's often a common challenge.
I love that. We've been moving to ecosystem kickoff and partner day where we bring our solution partners and app partners together. And, you know, I give them the same roadmap I give internally, you know, slightly different level. But I think that's the goal of just giving transparency, you know,
into which is amazing. Right? Which is, again, I think you folks have done, I think, an awesome job of kind of taking this kind of outside in perspective and saying, you know what, in order to make this successful, here are some of the things we need to do differently, perhaps, right? The second challenge, which again is, I think it's decreasing, but it's still not completely gone, is really getting the whole organization aligned, right? We talked a bit about the roadmap and the product organization, but how do you make sure that the sales organization and the marketing organization, you will need, again, for this to be effective, for this to be successful, you do not want this to be a siloed function, right? So how do you make sure that the partner ecosystem is involved in those conversations, is part of the prioritization of the resourcing of the, you know, how are you going to educate your and enable your sales organization to work with partners, again, solving for the customer? You know, where does marketing help? Marketing to partners, marketing with partners. You have a customer event, you know, do partners play a role? Do they show up? Do they not show up? So all those things requires a lot of kind of inward facing education, and the people on the other side of the table have to be eager and willing to engage. Right. So I think those are probably the commonality that I've seen pretty much everywhere is kind of getting those pieces lined up. Takes some work.
If I could ask a quick follow on question to that, how have you accomplished that? And how have you seen others sort of accomplish that in organizations that are making the turn from kind of a direct only motion to one that really involves ecosystems? Like any thoughts or guidance for folks on how to make that turn?
First off, when I started this, I had hair. So you can see where, you know, it takes a bit of cycles and stress. Kidding aside, I think part of it is, again, being very transparent, being very clear, building those relationships, right? What you don't want is to kind of come in and threaten the organization, say, hey, we're gonna do this. You know, if you're not on board, too bad. Right? That's not the spirit, not the philosophy. So typically I and, you know, people on my team and my leadership team would usually spend a fair amount of time building connections, engaging with all those other parts of the organization, educating them about, wait, what are we trying to do? Have a conversation about what are their sources of potential, you know, risk, or what they're worried about. Making that, you know, creating empathy with the rest of the organization, I think is job one. And as a leader, obviously you want to make sure that you're really using that process to kind of get input, to refine your program, to design it in such a way that it addresses some of those potential concerns, and then what are the ways to mitigate it or reduce the risk and so on. And then, of course, take all that and flip it to the outside. And as to how do you communicate that with your current and prospective ecosystem partners. Mm-hmm. So it is, I think it is a lot of that internal orchestration, if you would, first, and understanding what are the different functions that need to play a critical role. And then how do you make sure that they're seeing it in the same way you are, or, you know, you have to tweak it to align with their kind of priorities as well.
Yeah. I love that. That's great.
As HubSpot went through this app to suite to platform, I feel like that's probably around the time that you joined the board. How did that come to be? Like, how did Brian reach out?
So I'll tell you a quick story on that one, because I think it's very telling about HubSpot. So I'd gotten to know Brian when we were doing a partnership between HubSpot and Salesforce. This was back in 2010-ish, 10-11. And we just stayed kind of in casual touch over every once in a while over a LinkedIn message or an email exchange and so on. And then in early 20, Brian reached out to me and said, hey, every March we have a board meeting in the Bay Area, and we bring out a set of key leaders in the organization, and we basically do a tour. And it's always theme-based. And this year, our theme is platforms. Would you be willing to host this group and just chat with them? And it's about 15 to 20 people. I said, Ryan, I'd be delighted to. You know, I do travel a lot. So as long as we can schedule some time that works around that, happy to do it. So it turned out I had to travel that week. So I believe I hosted the crew at 8 a.m. on a Monday morning. So first meeting, and then I was literally heading to the airport. And about 15 people, including some of the most senior executives in the organization, sat around a table and we chatted about exactly the kind of experiences from Salesforce and ServiceNow and so on, in terms of platform strategy, in terms of key questions, in terms of pricing and monetization, all kinds of stuff. No slides, open-ended conversation. And once they were done, I said bye-bye and off I went. About a week, maybe 10 days later, I get another email from Brian late at night, probably midnight Eastern, basically with a one-liner saying, hey. So I responded. It was 9 p.m. here on the West Coast. I said, is this something to do with the meeting last week? He's like, yeah, kind of. I'm like, oh, crap. What did I say? What did I do? But I'm like, sure, happy to. So we get on a video call the week later, maybe a week or so later. And it's like, hey, people really enjoy the conversation. And, you know, those are the kind of topics that are top of mind. And frankly, you know, you had some both interesting insights and they enjoyed chatting with you. I'm like, oh, that's great. I was worried I had put my foot in my mouth. It's like, well, not quite. And in fact, kind of the opposite. We're looking for a new board member and we want someone with a background in platforms, ecosystems, because we're in this journey of going from single product, which was the marketing hub, to multi-product service, sales, etc. And we want to also become a platform. And I was thrown away. I was humbled. I'm like, wow, let me, you know, one, had not thought of it. It'd be an honor. I've been on private boards. I had not been on a public board. So, you know, relatively quickly the next day, I asked some of the senior leadership at ServiceNow, where I was at the time, CEO, my boss, the president, and then the head of product, actually, hey, any concerns? And our CEO at the time, John Donahoe, who was himself with multiple boards, he literally responded within minutes. He's like, hey, this is fantastic. As long as we don't compete with them, which I don't think we do, I would like my senior leadership to be on different boards because you learn a lot. So within that time, I had the okay to put my name in the hat. And then I met some of the other board members. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, I got the green light. So it is very HubSpotty, right? It's like, hey, nothing. It was very much the relationship, right? And kind of making sure that there was alignment and the whatever 15 people who showed up. I found this out later. they actually rank all their meetings when they do these tours. And luckily, I passed the test. So
we're all very grateful. Anymore.
Yeah, we definitely do the field trip still.
Yeah. So no, it was fun. It was a fantastic 5.5 years. Learned a lot, and it's been truly even more fun to see this evolution of the stuff that you guys are now doing, coming together. Because I think it's a sign of how the company listens and kind of incorporates things, and then does amazing job of execution.
Brilliant. I would say we are all grateful. We have all benefited. Everyone who's listening, I think we have been building on the ideas that you shared, and that's why we're here today. It's very exciting. So thank you.
Oh, that's great. Absolutely.
One question that I would have. So at EKO this year, as Karen mentioned, we have moved from kind of partner kickoff to ecosystem kickoff. We're really working from the customer back and encouraging our solutions partners and our app partners to connect and grow together, grow better together. As they do that, any advice that you would have for them, or anything that you would maybe point out as like critical to that relationship and facilitating those connections?
Yeah, look, I think first of all, the fact that you folks are doing that, I think is a sense a huge, huge signal to the ecosystem, to the market as a whole, certainly to customers, that this is something that really is critical as part of the growth strategy, right? So I think kudos. From the point of view of current and prospective partners, right? I think one, it's really thinking through, how can they bring the most value, right? So it's the understanding that the goal of all this is, again, it's to solve for the customer. And in order to do that, what role or roles can they play that are accretive or additive, rather than kind of a mindset of, hey, it's a win-lose type of situation. Mm. So I always try to, frame it as it's got to be a win-win-win. Win for the customer, win for the partner, and win for the, the orchestrator of the platform. If that's not the mindset, then it's not going to work out very well. Mm. So that's, I think, one kind of key point. There've been times where you're sitting, particularly in the app partner world, mm-hmm. There is this notion of, hey, I built an integration, I listed on the marketplace, and now I'm going to cross my arms and wait for the cash register to ring.
Doesn't work like that.
I have never seen it work like that. It may work like that in a few consumer app stores, maybe, but in the business world that we live in, the build it and they will come doesn't fly. So if they're not thinking through the overall go-to-market, and I think it applies to solution partners, it applies to tech partners, it applies to everybody, right? You still have to do your work. I think reminding everybody that this is a way to accelerate, yes, but it still requires, a lot of work.
Work,
messaging, yeah. Positioning, go-to-market, resourcing, etc. And then third, which again, I think all of us who live in the world of SaaS, and you guys can double confirm this, it's not just about getting the customer and acquiring the customer, it's about retaining the customer. And what role or roles are those ecosystem partners going to play in that, right? And how do we make sure that the customer is actually getting the value that's promised?
Yeah.
And then how do you grow that, grow the relationship, grow the value? So those are, again, there's no rocket science there. But it's often that I find that people kind of forget those first principles.
You mentioned that, just putting in there, you have to do a lot of work. When it comes to things like go-to-market strategies, how do you think of, recommendations for partners on that? Or how do you think partners should be shifting their go-to-market strategies now?
Yeah, I think, again, depending on who the partner is and kind of where they're coming from, this may be a new motion for them as well, right? Mm-hmm. So what I find is encouraging is there's just a lot more content. There's, talk to others, meet people, understand from, even frankly, sometimes from your competitors, understand things that have worked, things that haven't worked. Are there mechanisms that, or, you know, programs or things that have been around that you say, hey, never done that before, which is fine. There's probably others who have, right? So really get comfortable in knowing what you don't know, and then ask others who've been down the road before and say, hey, help me out here, mm-hmm. right? Or help me think this through, right? So that I think is a big part of that. Two, and again, nothing shouldn't be a surprise. It's a long game, right? It's not a switch that you just flip on and all of a sudden everything starts to work. So having the ability to say, look, I'm going to make the investment. I'm going to have to course correct. You know, we talked a lot about metrics. Those metrics will evolve over time. So how do you make sure that you know how to understand the direction you're in? What's your North Star? And then tweak things along the way, right? So I think those are just, again, kind of first principles. But the more you can kind of get input into that process from people who've been down the journey, I think the less surprises and the better expectations you can set. What are you guys seeing in the ecosystem Brilliant. From your point of view that kind of, are those the type of things, the kind of concerns that you're seeing from some of the partners that you're engaging with?
Yeah, definitely. I think you're hitting on a lot of them. Yeah, I think you're hitting on a lot of them. You know, I think ultimately, and this is where we're seeing things work well as well. When you put the customer at the center, like, and just recognize it's not about us getting a piece of the pie. It's about the customer getting the right solution. And that might mean different solution partners or app partners, but it's a different combination. I think that's one. I think we see some that as they come into the marketplace, they're really hoping for this grand motion. And we do see uplift in, for instance, leads and just things that we can do as a marketplace, but that's not it. And that's not all. Like there's a set of things that happen underneath. I like how you put the point of orchestration. You know, that's what we're hoping for. How can we help orchestrate conversations and relationships? How do we orchestrate transparency into which app partner or which solution partner makes sense for which customers? Those kind of things are really key.
Yeah.
But it's on a lot of our partners' minds as we evolve as well.
Yeah. Brian, I think we observe a lot of the infrastructure sort of evolving and maturing. I think we've seen solutions partners and app partners work together for a long time. And what we're observing is as you mentioned, the rules of engagement, the technology they use to drive connections and collaboration is evolving. Their methods, their joint go-to-market is really coming along. And we're also sort of seeing a proliferation of that throughout the ecosystem. More and more partners are leaning in. I think to your point, because customers are at the center of their go-to-market motions and they're solving for, you know, ever-increasing customer opportunity and growth. So that's been really exciting for all of us.
Cool. And again, it's a journey, right? It's not a, it'll keep evolving over time, so.
Well, awesome. Avanish, thank you so much for joining this incredible conversation. We look forward to just building on your insights, both internally and externally.
Thank you again for having me.
Yeah, we've loved this conversation. Thank you so much. We will be back next Tuesday with more Good Morning Ecosystem, wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, grow better together.